Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Attention all pet lovers, if the bottom of your pantry contains a stack of cans, a big bag of dog bickies, then you're doing it all wrong, at least according to veterinarian Tom Lonsdale, an expert and proponent of the raw food diet for dogs and cats. Tom is visiting New Zealand from his home in New South Wales to spread the word and joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. So, great to be here.
Did I get it right? You're doing it all wrong? You shouldn't be feeding your cat biscuits all day?
Yeah, that's largely the case, yeah. Not everybody's doing it wrong, of course, but the great majority are. It's part of the culture. It's what we've been taught to do from a very early age. The junk pet food industry got going in the 1860s in London. A fellow called Jack Spratt, whether he's the same one who could eat no fat, we don't know. But anyway, he hit on the idea, having sailed from America, that he can start feeding these stray dogs and also the dogs of the populace on what he called wheat fibrin biscuits, I think they were. Beef blood, beetroot, and for the most part, wheat. So that's when it started. He then hooked up with a fellow called Charles Cruft, famous for the Cruft's Dog Show. So pedigree dog shows were set up, not for pedigree dog showing per se, but for the purpose of selling junk dog food to an unsuspecting populace. So it grew from there. They then reaped in massive profits. They reapplied the profits in a big advertising approach to this whole thing. And so this was capitalism in the raw, absolutely creating a market and then feeding that market. And what we see today with all the different breeds, all the different pet shops, supermarkets, and of course increasingly the vets who are then brought in to fix up the problems of the junk food that Jack Spratt and his mate Charles Cruft inflicted on the planet. So it's a big disaster with a lot of people coining it, feeding off this disaster. And of course it's the unsuspecting pet owners and of course their voiceless pet animals that bear the brunt.
What's the problem? I mean, you know, the cats and dogs are still living to their, you know, to a decent, healthy, ripe old age. Where's the problem? What's wrong with it?
Ripe old age. Yeah, well, that's what we think, you see, and this is the trouble. You look at a person on a cold day wearing a fur coat, and can you at first glance tell whether that person's well or sick, maybe dying of cancer? You wouldn't know. Inside the fur coat, that obscures so many of the details of the health and welfare of that particular human being. Now you try and then assess a dog from a distance and see if you can tell whether it's well or not. You, for the most part, make errors of judgment. The vets make errors of judgment too because they use very rudimentary tools to find out about the welfare of the animal. Number one, they can't ask, where does it hurt? How do you feel today? And so they use stethoscopes and thermometers and such like. These animals are horribly ill for the most part, but the thermometer records normal because that's the homeostatic mechanism of the animal.
Are you saying the majority of animals, because we're assuming the majority of animals are fed this junk pet food, are ill most of the time?
That's right. Yeah, from cradle to grave, they're ill and can't tell you. What a dreadful existence that must be.
How do we know?
We know because when we switch the diet, they come back to life again. And then in retrospect, we say, oh, gee, that animal must have been real, real ill. It's dramatic stuff.
What happens when you switch
the diet? They turn into puppies and kittens again. You take your old animals, stop the bad stuff. And this is where you gain 80% of your benefit. Just stop giving the junk food, the canned and the dry. And then, thereafter, you try and introduce as close as you possibly can to the natural diet, that which the wolf progenitors ate and still do eat, and, of course, the wild cats in the deserts of North Africa, exactly the same diets that they eat, and do that, and that's what nature intended.
It would be fair to say, though, Tom, that there's some debate about your ideas about this, isn't there? I mean, you mentioned before you went to air that the people in the universities weren't too keen on you getting to air.
You're absolutely right. That was on my first previous trip here. This time, I don't think they've been able to influence people to the same extent. But at that time, they certainly did try and put a suppression on getting this information out. Look, they're speaking through their pocketbooks. They're in cahoots with the junk pet food producers. This is a very, very bad situation that's arisen. So we've now got this fraudulent situation where the healthcare professionals well, let's use the word, in conspiracy with the junk pet food producers.
And can you demonstrate that, though? It's quite an allegation.
Oh, it sure is. But it's absolutely true. And that's why I can make it, because truth is our defence.
And where's the evidence?
The evidence is in this book, for instance, Raw Meaty Bones. It's in Work Wonders in a truncated form. It's on my website, and you can see the evidence. Right now, I'm standing for election in the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons elections in the UK. I'm still registered over there. And that's the august body that regulates 21,000 vets in the UK. In that political campaign, I've said it on the line, absolutely on the line. You can go onto the website, my website, and see what the manifesto is. Most years, I've been standing for 14 years now, every year, I get about 10% of the vote. 10% of vets are prepared to endorse this to the point where they vote for it. The other 90% know it, but say, gee, you know, we've got to stay the day of execution, so we won't support it.
So is it all the processed food of a piece? It's all as bad as each other. The gourmet stuff's not better than the cheap stuff?
Well, you pay more to poison your pet to virtually the same extent.
Now, you could say this, because I mean, I'm with you to a certain extent. I can see that, you know, feeding natural, healthy, raw food, just like it would be for humans, it's the same as eating McDonald's every day, presumably. I know from having a cat that feeding it cheap biscuit cat food, that they remain hungry, that they are not happy with it, that it, you know, I'm talking about your big name brands of cheap cat food.
Yes.
Doesn't seem to give them what they need, doesn't seem to make them happy. However, for, you know, for 11 years or so, our cat's been eating a more premium grade dry biscuit food, and at 11 years old, runs around like a kitten, chases her tail, you know, sprints around the house, having a great old time. She doesn't look like she's a very sick cat.
Right, I know, and that's part of the downfall of this whole business, because they can't tell you. You were lured into this false belief that she was well. She was horribly sick.
What's she going to look like? Because on the one hand, you're asserting that other people can't tell that they're sick.
Yes.
But you're asserting that it's sick.
Yes.
Can you see the flaw in the logic there? How do you know my cat is sick?
Because I can say that we can demonstrate that for all doubters, all skeptics, because you just simply take that self-same cat and change its diet. In the case of your 11-year-old cat, though, in all probability, you've got to do some dental work. Because, face it, she's never ever cleaned her teeth in 11 years of eating sludgy biscuits.
But you say that she would that she's going to start acting like a much younger cat. She already does.
That's what you think. That's the sad aspect of this, that people think, you know, everything's hunky-dory. All the information you're receiving in the sound bites on the TV and the newspaper and journal articles and advertisements, the vet speak, the packets on the supermarket shelf, indeed in the vet's waiting room, all of that is telling you this is just hunky-dory, kosher good stuff. And your cat has not ever been able to tell you otherwise. But, for instance, if you were to pick up on a few telltales, you'd open its mouth and have a sniff at the breath, and it'd nearly knock you over. And you think, well, that's bad, that's poisonous. And you're absolutely right, it is, because these are gums rotting alive in that cat of yours. She hasn't cleaned her teeth. She doesn't know how to, except to go and catch her prey. At the lecture in Auckland, I put up the video, put up the slides of the lioness facing off with a bull buffalo in the dead of night in southern Africa there. It's so important to her to go out and hunt the right stuff. She's not going for the easy option. She needs that tough, chewy buffalo hide to clean her working parts. She's got to have that to clean these dagger teeth and the scissor like teeth in the cheeks and so on. Same with your cat.
So it's a good thing that cats go out and hunt, because our cat, I mean, we worry sometimes about what kind of birds he's going to get, but he does seem to like doing that.
Well, absolutely. He's just got to fulfill his biological instincts and nature that he's been equipped with.
Rather controversially, you also advocate cats eating or animals eating roadkill, is that right?
For instance, yeah. Except I hear that in this country, roadkill could contain 1080, and it might also be TB affected as well. So you have to watch some of those things. That's maybe, look, once you get into this and know what you're doing, then fine. We're talking here not just about food. We're talking about food and medicine combined. This stuff is medicinal for these animals. It cures so many of those listeners. If they've got animals with bad skin, bad teeth, bad joints, generally falling apart, You just hop on the website and find out about this stuff. It's curative. But then, of course, it's preventative. So you prevent a whole range of things. But as with any powerful medicine, it's a very gentle medicine, this one, but as with any powerful medicine, there are downsides. You know, safe handling and management has to be part of the overall package here. So it's better that people get some information if they possibly can.
It is, as they say, food for thought. Thank you very much for coming along. The website is
www.rawmeatybones.com, or here in this country, there's Dr. Lynn Thompson, and she's doing a terrific job with her Raw Essentials, and that is www.rawessentials.co.nz.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you indeed.
Coming up after the break, how to survive the 48 Hours Film Fest, and if you like the screech of twisted metal, check out the Smashfest Demolition Derby.